What an awesome Wednesday this is. We go to our second of 3 hours. I'm Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage, as you know, is with you every step of the way. That way you get a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Hit us up. I've got a couple of interviews coming up later on this hour. In fact, I went open phones at the bottom of last hour. That's not even true. I went open phone. Reggie in Ontario was the call, and I'm getting a lot of reaction to that. Coming up next segment, a conversation with the WBO welterweight champ, Terrence Crawford. Right after that, the U.S. men's national team head coach, Greg Berhalter. We are talking soccer yet again here in the jungle. You know it. You have your telephone number. I've got thoughts on Colin Kaepernick and whether or not that workout's going to go down this weekend and what the NFL was thinking in setting it up the way it did. Matt in Vancouver is in on Twitter, at Belligerent Nuck. Quote, Reggie in Ontario has been traded to Team Australia by Team Canada for a disgusting fat slob actor to be named later and a seventh round pick. Hey, Matt, where's your guy? Where's Tyler? Matt's still coming in. Have not heard from Ty in a while. At Famous Mailman 23 tweets, War Canadians and their silly accents.
It sucked having to explain to multiple people how I blew it on Jim Rome.
I knew right then and there you were not from Ontario, California. I mean, not a bad thing. I just knew. I'm just saying that because you made a point of clarifying the first time you called that you were from Ontario, but not Ontario, California, the other Ontario. Yet we know, Reg, we can hear you. Mike D for three tweets. And stay oot, Reggie.
I'm out.
Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Reggie has the gift of gab? Compared to who? Mimes?
Kind of known for having the gift of the gab, and that day I definitely choked up.
I'm kind of known as having the gift of gab. But that day I kind of choked up. Actually, Reggie, both days you kind of choked up. D-Rod 2203 tweets, hey, Reggie, you are now known for being one of the worst callers in the jungle, but one of the best from Canada. Rome, Reggie in Ontario most definitely has the gift of gab. Signed, Stuart Elliott.
You know, each horse, of course, has a different attitude. Clearly, this is a horse that's got the attitude of a champion.
That's right.
Tell me about the fact, because the
awkward.
Horse never lost.
That really happened. He just agreed. Like, Stuart, there's this thing. When you come on a program or you do an interview, the host or the interviewer asks a question. Even if it's not the best question, you understand that it's your job to answer the question. Not just agree with the assertion. That was more. It was a question, not really an assertion. I guess at least he didn't say, that's wrong. Hung me out with, that's right.
This is a horse that's got the attitude of a champion.
That's right.
So that's like where you take the baton from
me.
Tell
me about the fact.
Right. Lee Evans can't believe that. That's like where you take the baton from me and then you lay out characteristics of a champion or what it is that makes this horse a champion or so unique. I was looking for a little more than, that's right. But like I said, he didn't say, that's wrong. Stu, my thing is, it might not have been the best question that you've ever heard, but it was far from the worst. There was no need to hang me out like that. No need to embarrass me like that. I'm trying to hype up your horse here. You and the horse. That's right? That's an amazing soundbite. That really happened. Well, that horse has the heart and mind of a champion. That's right. Anyway, thanks for coming by today. Reggie had more to offer than that.
Gift of the gab.
Rome, Antoine Walker said there's 82 games a year. That's news to me. Signed, Kawhi Leonard napping it out on the bench every third game. Load management. You're not getting your money's worth. Yeah, right. All right, so how many games did he play last year? 60. Who did he play for? The Toronto Raptors. And how'd that end up for them? World champions. Right. There's a reason for it. It works. It's smart. They're protecting their investment. And the Clippers are doing the same thing, and they are smart to do the same thing. Who else wants in? All right, so let's talk about this for a minute. Nathan Peterman, CJ Beathard, Matt Cassel, Chad Henne, Bryce Petty, Tom Savage, some dude named David Fales, a guy named Cooper Rush. See, this collection of names sounds like it was randomly spit out by a computer, but it's actually a list of quarterbacks who have gotten a look in the past few years. Now, you know who's not on that list. You know who hasn't gotten a look. Actually, that was not a question. It's a statement. You know who hasn't? Colin Kaepernick. You know this. I know this. We all know why this is. But now he is getting a look. Sort of. Not really. The league announced yesterday that Colin Kaepernick would have a workout on Saturday in Atlanta. And everything about this is weird. Because according to numerous reports, over the years, Kaepernick has been working out 5 days a week for the past 3 years. And his reps have reached out to multiple teams over the years whenever there has been a quarterback injury or an opening to see about getting a workout. But it gets more and more weird. Because according to Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, quote, a representative from the league called a select group of reporters last week and suggested they should be available on the following Tuesday for a worthwhile news development. The NFL wouldn't say what it would be, just that the reporters should be ready to share some breaking news. End quote. Well, the breaking news was the news of the Kaepernick workout, except while reporters knew that news would be breaking last week, Kaepernick's reps did not hear about that workout until yesterday morning. Not only did they not hear about it till yesterday, according to Robinson, they were given 2 hours to accept it. Like, take it or leave it. You're on the clock. So the league wants you to think what an amazing moment this is in league history. Like, the first time the league has ever organized a workout for a single player. They want that headline, and they want that talking point. Like, we've never done this before. And if you buy that, you're a sucker. Because, yes, it is the first time that the league has ever organized a workout for a single player. But if you think this is about a workout to get him a legitimate look, then you're fooling yourself. You're allowing yourself to get played. If the league was serious about getting Kaepernick a look, why would they let him know on a Tuesday about a workout on Saturday? And if the league really was serious about giving this guy's best shot, why would they make the offer good for only 2 hours? And if the league really was serious about this, why is the workout being scheduled in mid-November instead of over the summer or in the preseason or earlier in the year when starting quarterbacks were going down left and right? Why is the workout on a Saturday when half the head coaches in the NFL will be on the road for games and when many scouts and front office personnel are scheduled to be at college football games and could never attend that workout? Why not schedule the workout on a Tuesday, which is when real NFL workouts are generally held? Why? Because it's not about giving Kaepernick an opportunity. It's about the NFL going CYA. It's not a real workout. The league is not trying to get Kaepernick an opportunity because they feel badly or they're admitting that they screwed up. Or because they actually want to see him back in the league. This is about the NFL being shamed into the fact that guys like Peterman et al. Have been given looks, and a guy who led a team to a Super Bowl can't even get a sniff. They want to be able to check that box. They want to be able to say, look, we did something that we've never done before. We scheduled a workout for a single player. How can anybody say that this player has been blackballed when we're doing something for him that we have never done for anybody else? Setting up his own personal workout in front of any and potential every team. Except it's not a real workout. They're just doing it so they can say that they did it. That's all. If this was legit, they'd give Kaepernick and the teams more notice. They would not be telling reporters about breaking news before telling the parties involved about it. Before they even knew he'd say yes. They were going to the media before they told the guy that it affected. But of course they knew they had breaking news. Because either way, they were going to break news. The news was going to be that they had a workout for him and he said yes. Or they had a workout for him and he said no. Either way, it's news. Either way, they win. They knew they'd have news either way. And they did it in a way where Kaepernick had to say yes. If he didn't say yes to a really weird workout, under really strange circumstances, with little notice, then they'd say, he doesn't want to play, does he? Then they'd say, we offered it, but he turned it down. You can even see that in the initial reports yesterday about the workout. People making sure they heard that his reps wanted to see about a later date. So you could already see people saying, wait, if this guy wants back in that badly and he's been working out that much, why does he need a later date? It was done to raise questions about how badly this guy really wants back in. When in reality, the question of a later date is a legitimate question because you want the decision makers for teams to be available for it. You don't want to work out for people that don't have the final say or don't have juice. So what I'm saying is the only winner here is the league. If he works out and somebody signs him, the league looks like a hero for making it happen. If he doesn't work out because he thinks it's a big sham, the league can blame him for not taking them up on this amazing opportunity. If he does work out and nobody signs him, then it's just proof that he's not very good, which is crap. And if you still want to hold on to this sort of desperate argument that this is about anything other than the obvious, you're begging. So let's be clear about this. It's a sham. Real NFL workouts are generally held on Tuesdays. They're not held on a Saturday on short notice when the participant has 2 hours to respond with a take it or leave it offer. Giving somebody 2 hours to agree is not a workout offer. It's a threat. And here's the final thing on all this. I'm not saying you have to like Kaepernick as a quarterback or as a person. You don't have to. That's up to you. But don't embarrass yourself and those around you by trying to make arguments up about why he's not in the league. Don't delude yourself or demean yourself by saying that his team had a losing record in his final season, or that he's not a good system quarterback, or he doesn't want to play, or he'd be too big of a distraction. Don't bother me with all that garbage, because none of that's true. You know it, and I know it. Worse players, terrible people, and bigger distractions have all been given multiple chances. And Kaepernick hasn't. So again, you don't have to like this guy. You don't have to like what he's about. But don't embarrass yourself by pretending about why he's not in the league. And from the sounds of it, this workout is not going to change any of that. It's a sham. When we come back, we go back to back. Terrence Crawford, WBO welterweight champ, is my guest. Greg Berhalter is after that. Yo, fellas, never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You think it makes you look casual, but more than likely you just end up looking sloppy. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are designed to be worn untucked, specifically designed. It's a casual shirt that's not too long, not too short, it's just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel great. Even the wrinkle-free options. Untuck It offers 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can experience the perfect fitting shirt. So you want to log on to untuckit.com, check out all the new arrivals, use the promo code ROME for 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit one of Untuckit's over 70 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME and get 20% off your first-time purchase.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so we're going back-to-back right here. Jim Rome with you on this Wednesday. Good show. Having a good time with it. We talk some boxing. We are joined right now by the WBO welterweight champion, a three-time WBO champion, the two-time lineal champion, 35-0, 27 by KO, Crawford v. Mean Machine, December 14th, live from Madison Square Garden. My guest is Terrence Bud Crawford. Terrence, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Good to have you. So we're about a month out from that fight versus the Mean Machine in the Garden. When you think about that fight and what that night might be like, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Man, just the same that I've been having, you know, going in there and handling business.
So when you look at the Mean Machine as an opponent, what kind of fighter do you see? Styles make fights. When you look at him, what do you see?
He's an experienced fighter. He's a two-time Olympian, real strong, real durable. Never been dropped before, and can punch, relentless with his pressure. And also, he can box a little bit as well.
Right, so that right there is a good scouting report. Like, you're never, ever going to overlook an opponent, especially a guy who's got those kind of tools. And you are facing a guy who's a two-time Olympian who has never lost as a pro. However, has he ever been in the ring with an opponent like you? Does he have any idea what he's gotten himself into?
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure that he's done his homework and scouting work on myself. But at the same time, you know, it's different once you get in the ring with a fighter like me, and I strongly believe that he's never been in a ring with a fighter of my caliber.
He is the WBO welterweight champion, Terrence Crawford, joining us. Now, you're coming off that win over Amir Khan, where you nearly finished him in the first round, and then you won by TKO in the sixth. There had been all this talk going into the fight about Khan's speed. So how pleased were you with your performance and the way you dominated that fight?
You said what?
How pleased were you with your performance against Khan and the way you dominated that fight?
I was okay. You know, I felt a little disappointed how the fight ended. I wanted to finish the fight, you know, how I would have liked to finish it, but he quit, and, you know, the fight got stopped, and, you know, the low blow was the talk of the fight more so than, you know, my performance.
Still, after the fight, Andre Ward, who was serving as an analyst, declared you to be the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world until further notice. So how much does it mean to have earned that level of respect from somebody like Ward? And then how important is it to you to be known as the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world?
Oh, man, it's a good thing coming from a fighter of his status and, you know, considering that he was a pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world at one point in time, that just tells a lot.
Terrence Crawford's my guest. He's got that big fight coming up next month, and it's going to be at Madison Square Garden, or I should say the fight against Khan was at Madison Square Garden. I was just in New York over the weekend, and I was right near the Garden. Terrence, there's so much history in that building. As a boxer, what's it like to fight there, and what's it mean to be fighting there once again?
Well, you know, it's electrifying, being that you think about all the great fighters that fought in the same arena as you and, you know, made history at the Garden. And me being in the prime of my career and doing the same that those greats have done, you know, in the prime of their career is just, you know, a good feeling.
You know, one of your signature moves is that you switch stances, and you do it so well. The only guy people compare you to, it seems, is Marvin Hagler. So first, what's it like when you hear yourself compared to a legend like Hagler?
Well, you know, I really don't take too much time to think about, you know, them comparing us to him because I feel like we have two completely different styles. But just them putting me in the same category as an all-time great, you know, that's just let me know where my career is leading after boxing.
See, the fact of the matter is you're undefeated, you're a champion, and arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet, so you're starting to carve out this place for you in history, and all of a sudden now we're talking about legacy. I know you have to take care of your business next, but there are these conversations. Now, on top of that, you've made no secret of the fact that you want to face Errol Spence Jr., but you don't need to face him to make the kind of history that I'm talking about. Is it just a promoter issue, or do you feel like he's trying to avoid you?
I think it's I wouldn't say promotional issue because he don't have a promoter. He has an advisor. You know, I just feel like, you know, they advise him to not fight me at this point in time because of the top ranking PBC issue. So, you know, he's listening to his team. He got a great team behind him. And I don't fault him for listening to the guys that want to see him succeed the most.
It's Crawford versus Mean Machine, December 14th, live from Madison Square Garden. We're talking that fight up. Terrence, one more guy I want to ask you about, because I know that in the past you've talked about how much you loved watching and studying guys like Roy Jones Jr. I've been a long-time fight fan. I've never seen a fighter like Roy Jones. I've never seen a guy who could do the types of things that Roy Jones could do in the ring. What was your biggest takeaway from studying Roy?
Oh, man, just, you know, the way he utilized his speed to, you know, take away any fighter's strong points in the ring and combinations and, you know, fast twitch muscles, feints, you know, movement, just everything about him.
Roy Jones, Terrence, it seems to me he could go, never mind, entire rounds without getting hit. Like, my man would go an entire fight without getting hit. I'd never seen anything like it. Now, you're from Omaha. What's it mean to you to be from Omaha and be representing that city on the biggest stage?
Oh, it means a lot. Being that nobody would have ever thought somebody from Omaha, Nebraska, can make it to the big stage in the sport of boxing. You know, a lot of people always told me I had to move out of the city to become champion, to become fighting game. And, you know, nobody never gave fighters from Omaha. They just do. They just thought we was all tomato cans and, you know, we couldn't fight. Boxing was never in Omaha, Nebraska. So me being from Omaha and showing them that we have great fighters from our city, like, you know, the bigger cities, you know, it's putting a lot of recognition on the sport of boxing in Omaha. And it's a lot of fighters that's, you know, following, you know, my lead and, you know, pursuing their dreams and their goals.
If for the record, I want to say it. I love that you're from Omaha. People who crack on Omaha have never been to Omaha. I have. It's a great town with amazing people, some of the nicest people ever. In fact, your friends say that you are the nicest guy in Omaha. So how do you go from being the nicest guy in Omaha to the baddest guy in the ring? Do you flip a switch, or do you not need to be angry to fight?
Oh, man, I don't need to be angry. It's a fight. You know, 9 times out of 10, I'm really not angry. I'm just more focused than anything. I don't ever want to go in a fight, you know, angry, because that's when you make the most mistakes. I will say I'll go in a fight just more mentally and physically focused than angry.
One last thought. Because you're from Omaha, of course you're a Huskers fan. How you feeling about that football team these days?
Oh, man, we're not doing too well, but I feel like, you know, Scott Frost is going to get us together. You know, he's only been here second year now, and, you know, he got a lot to make up from, you know, the past coaches.
He is the WBO welterweight champ. He is a 3-time WBO champ, the 2-time lineal champ. He is undefeated, and he's got a fight coming up on December 14th, live from Madison Square Garden against Mean Machine, Terrence Bud Crawford. Terrence, great to have you back. Really nice talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Terrence Bud Crawford, representing Omaha, and I do love that, a world champion from Omaha.
Omaha!
And he said it's a tough time right now with the Huskers, but give Scott Frost a little bit of time. This is not an original thought. However, if you're a Husker fan, you already know this. The scary thing is, if Scott Frost can't turn it around, it ain't getting turned around, right? My feeling, and I'll say this also for the record, he's going to get it turned around. I'm not guaranteeing you that it could ever be the way it was when he played for Tom Osborne and when I first went to Omaha and I saw the Peter boys and I saw Jared Tomich and we did our tour stop there. I'm not saying it could ever be like that ever again, but it can be a hell of a lot better than it is right now. Give him a little more time. I do not expect to see Nebraska ever lose to Purdue or Indiana, and both those things happened, but give him some more time. All right, when we come back, something else you thought would never happen, me talking soccer on this show. Not only talking soccer on this show, but talking to the U.S. men's national coach. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last. Greg Berhalter is joining me next. Sunday, NFL on CBS doubleheader. You've got Jackson and the Ravens welcoming Watson and the Texans. Couple of MVP candidates. Followed by New England bracing for another tough road trip. They've got Philly. It all starts with JB and the fellas at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, CBS. I got a sports update for you. Showing you a little range now. From boxing to soccer. We are joined right now by the U.S. men's national team head coach. He was named head coach in December. 44 caps with the men's national team, including 2 World Cups. First U.S. men's national team head coach to have played for the U.S. in a World Cup. Good friend of the program. Canada and the U.S. are going to run it back Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Greg Berhalter is my guest. Greg, great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to visit with you. So you and the team have been training this week, getting ready for Friday's Nations League game against Canada. Bring me up to date, Greg. How's the training sessions been going, and do you like what you see?
So before we get into that, Jim, I have to congratulate you on the National Radio Hall of Fame. You know, congratulations. Well-deserved. When I think about iconic voices and TV personalities of our generation, you're certainly way up there, my man. So congratulations.
Greg, thank you so much. They'll obviously let anybody in, but thank you very much for saying so. I appreciate you. Thank you. So how's your team look?
So training's been great. You know, we arrived a week early with a group that has been largely MLS players who are out of season, and we trained with them down in Sarasota, and then we moved up to Orlando. We got the entire group in. And the guys are focused. You know, we know we weren't happy with the result in Canada. You know, they're a tough team. It was a difficult away game, difficult result. But we're focused on getting a result this time in Orlando.
We're talking to Greg Berhalter. You know, focus, Greg, is the key word here, because after that match, you made the point that the thing that disappointed you the most was the desire and the fact that your team did not match Canada's emotion and their intensity. How do you go about correcting that for Friday night?
So, you know, we had 7 players playing in a competitive CONCACAF away match for the first time in that game, starting in that game. And for a lot of those guys, it was an eye-opening experience, just understanding the level of intensity when we play away from home that the opponent's going to bring. You know, that's their biggest game of the year. And, yeah, I was disappointed that we didn't match or exceed that intensity level. And for us now, in this home match, it's making a statement early in the game. You know, that we're here to play and that we're, you know, the intensity is there and the mindset is right to go out and get a win.
Greg Berhalter is joining us. He is the U.S. men's national soccer team head coach. One of the things, Greg, that guys like Martin O'Neill have said in the past when asked about being a national team coach is if you lose a match, you've got a long time before the next one and you kind of stew on it. It's not like being with a club team where you're back on the pitch a few days later. By the time Friday rolls around, it would have been an entire month since that last match. What has the last month been like for you?
It's been terrible, you know, just in terms of... Yeah, that's exactly it. And a club coach, you have, you know, next Saturday or you have next Wednesday, and it's a midweek fixture. And as a national team coach, you know, you have to watch the game back 100 times and you don't have the opportunity to change it right away. And so that's frustrating. You know, I joke with the players, I go, yeah, you guys go back to your clubs and I'm left with this game for the next month.
Right.
But, you know, it's all part of the business. And you know, it gives us really good detail to focus on. It allows us to really pick apart the small parts of the game and then be able to come up with really concise points that we want to focus on for the next time around.
Now, you're focused on the team, and you're focused on the culture, and you're focused on getting them in the right spots and putting them in a position to have success. And I know you're not focused on the other, but there's going to be reaction, right? When a team
yep.
has a loss like the one to Canada, you know the passion there is in the fan base. You know the fans are going to be upset. Obviously, you don't want to be in that situation. But can you make the argument that the fans being upset after a loss is actually a good thing because it shows the expectations that everybody now has?
Yeah, you know, I want there to be high expectations for the program. I really do. But I also want them to be realistic and in line with where we are as a group. And sometimes those things aren't always combined. And that can be, you know, a little bit frustrating. But I understand the fan base. I understand that they want us to win every game. And we want the same thing. And that's what we're focused on. In terms of the team, though, you know, we have to create our own story. We can't let the narrative come from the outside. You know, any negativity towards the players or towards the coaching staff or towards the team in general. No, we just have to focus on what we're doing, try to be better at what we're doing, and understand that it's a process.
We were talking to Greg Berhalter. Christian Pulisic has been absolutely on fire for Chelsea of late, but he had to withdraw from the team after a hip injury on Saturday. First off, how pleased were you by how he's been playing, and then how tough was the decision to not risk the further injury?
You know, I can't give a player enough credit than this case with Christian Pulisic, because the way he's handled himself over this last month and a half has been exceptional. You know, really a lot of pressure on him to perform, a difficult time adapting to the league, adapting to the team, but he just hung in there. And all he did was take it one day at a time and keep working and keep trying to improve. And along the way, there were still dips in that, and it wasn't always easy, but he kept just determined. And, you know, he got to a point where, you know, he helped the team in the Champions League game against Ajax. He came off the bench and had the winning assist, and then he started the next game and had a hat trick, and just has been on fire since then. And it's really great to see that, you know, that determination and the perseverance pays off.
We're talking to Greg Berhalter, big match coming up on Friday. Now, while he's not going to be there, somebody who is with the team is Sergiño Dest, who has committed to keep playing for the U.S. instead of the Netherlands. What was your reaction to that news, and just how bright is his future?
So we went over and spent time with him a couple weeks ago in Holland, and we watched his Champions League game against Chelsea, and met with him and his father, and sat down and had a really good conversation, and we were optimistic that he would eventually choose the United States. But I think it's great for the program. I mean, when you have an 18, 19-year-old with that much talent and that much promise, and you can, this is a guy that you can potentially rely on for the next, you know, 12 years through two or three World Cup cycles, you know, it's really good news for the program. And, you know, it's a collective effort by all the U.S. Soccer Federation to make that happen.
You know, Greg, it's not about you. You're never going to make it about you. But since you and I are friends, I got to know, what's it been like? It's been nearly a year already since you took over as head coach. What has that last year been like for you professionally and personally?
So it's been a great learning experience. You know, when you come from the club world, you know, there's a lot more time with the players. It's a lot more intensive work over a longer duration of time. And the national team is just completely different. It's been a really good learning process. You know, what I'd say is that it's a genuinely good group of guys. It really is. And now it's about just continuing to work with them and getting the mentality really strong and really understand that we can be a very good team and, you know, working to get there. And it's been fun, though. It really has. It's a great honor to coach the United States, having played for the team and really representing your country is no bigger honor.
So how different are you now as a head coach than when you first took over this opportunity?
We're learning, we're growing, and we're I think the biggest change has been really the specificity of what we need to train, because you have such a short time. If you could imagine, Jim, in this week, you know, we didn't have the team train, the entire team, until today. Today was the first session with the entire team. And it's Wednesday, and we play on Friday already. So you really have to be, really specific with what you want to train and the detail of how you're trying to transfer that information.
So you're trying to train, and what you're trying to create is an identity. You and I have talked about that in the past, the identity that you're looking to develop. How close are you to developing that identity with this group?
You know, that's going to be something that over time we form. And, you know, we become known for the way we play. And it's in the formation stage right now. There's been glimpses where it looks great, and there's been glimpses where we're not where we need to be. And, you know, I see that, you know, we're going to continue to form and forge our way with this identity and until we get it right.
So then finally, Greg, you talk about the process and you talk about expectations on the outside versus internally. When you come into a job like that and you have your vision and you have your plan, you know there are going to be challenges. So has that impacted the plan at all? In other words, you know it's a bottom line results business, but at the same time, when you have your eye to the future, you have to stay with the plan and trust the process. How do you get the right balance between those two things?
So that's a good question, and I think that, you know, the most important thing is that the players are bought into the same vision and are on the same mission, and we have that. You know, the guys are really in tune with what we're trying to do. The second part of it is, you know, we have to be patient with the developmental process. I mentioned having a young team. You know, in the last game, our average age was three years younger than any team that's ever competed for the U.S. in a official CONCACAF away match. So we're young. And for us, it's just staying focused on what we want to do, keeping the guys bought in, and then continuing to improve. And, so, you know, I think we've done a good job of doing that so far.
All right, so it starts up once again. You've got Canada and the U.S. on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. He was named a head coach in December, first U.S. men's national team head coach to have played for the U.S. in a World Cup. And again, somebody I consider a good friend of the program, Greg Berhalter. Greg, good luck with that. We'll be watching closely, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
You too. Greg Berhalter joining us. So if you're just kind of dropping out of the sky and you're wondering, wait, what? Wait, that Rome was talking to the U.S. men's national team head coach. Yes? And I've done it several times. Wait, Rome was not only talking soccer, he was talking intelligently. He was talking respectfully. Yes, yes, yes. 1998 call. They want their take back. Yes. So why was I doing that? I'm interested. I know we have listeners that are interested. I know I can do as good an interview with him as anybody else can in the mainstream media. And he and I are friends. When I say that, friend of the show, he is a friend of the show and a friend of mine. And I know Greg Berhalter because our kids played baseball together. So we would sit in the stands long before he got this opportunity. And we would just sit and watch the kids play baseball, and we would talk sports. He is a huge sports fan. Extremely analytical, very, very bright, very disciplined, very focused, intense, about the right stuff. And I'm saying be patient. He's the right guy in the right spot. And he owned it. He knows they've got work to do. 44 caps with the men's national team, including two World Cups. And this is a big one. Last time out, it did not go well. They lost to Canada 2-0 in October. And he owned that and said it. We did not match their intensity. So they'll run that back Friday night. He said training sessions have gone well. Dell's Black Friday sneak peek deals fit your busy work schedule. You can save right now, in fact, on computers with Intel Core processors plus free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can help you find the right tech. 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/business deals. All right, so we've got an open phone third hour. Done all my interviews. Coming up later on today, episode 104 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Bill Romanowski is going to be my guest, Romo, on the pod. 1-800-636-8686. I'm going to go boxing, soccer, tennis. Next segment.